Ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
Virtual reality has become extremely popular these days. From playing video games to immersing oneself in a movie or photos, VR can bring a whole new experience to entertainment. Now at UWM, researchers are discovering new ways of using virtual reality to learn about the world that we live in. The work is being coordinated through UWM's Immersive Media Lab. On this edition of UWM Today, we'll learn how technology is helping to bridge the gap that can exist between science and the humanities. Joining us in the studio are Chris Willey, who teaches art and design at the Peck School of the Arts, and Natalie Krug, who's studying art education and is a student artist herself. Welcome to both of you to today's program. And I assure our listeners, this is not a virtual radio show. It is a real radio show about virtual reality. Yeah. Chris, let's begin with some definitions. VR, virtual reality. We hear about other ways in which people are enhancing their sensory experiences, augmented reality. How do we define this?
Sure. So when I started the Immersive Media Lab, I was thinking maybe I should call it the Virtual Reality Lab or something like that. But it dawned on me that that's folly, because virtual reality is only one part of a bigger thing. And at the time I started it, that thing didn't have a name yet necessarily. Extended reality is the common term that people are using to describe as an umbrella term for virtual reality, for augmented reality, and for mixed reality. And the way that I define those things are essentially a gradient of your experience as you're going through it. The first one, you might have remembered the Pokemon Go craze. That was, they kind of called that mixed reality, but the truth was that that was an augmented reality experience.
Because you weren't wearing headsets.
Right,
you were walking around looking at your phone.
And this thing just pops up, right?
Bumping into the person in front of you.
And the idea was that it would pop up on a plane of some sort, and that was where the kind of mixed reality came in. So augmented reality is nothing more than data that's put on top of your everyday experience. And that data could be nothing more than an email ticker that tells you what email you just got. So instead of it popping up on your phone or in your pocket, it's popping up somewhere in your field of view. The next level of reality would be mixed reality. And that is, you have a pair of glasses or goggles that are actually sensing every plane in your environment. So they're sending signals to see where things are. And then that same data that I was talking about now populates on these surfaces, and you can interact with it. It sees your hands as well, and you can start moving this around. We see this in technology, the HoloLens, and then Magic Leap is a company that's coming out with a pair of goggles very soon. So it's there, but it's not quite at most consumers. And it's also really early technology, so it's not the best experience, in my opinion, yet. I think it's profound in its implications, but we're not quite there with mixed reality. The last one, virtual reality or VR, that's when your mind is completely separated from where we typically are right now. So you go into effectively a black space. It's just your mind and your hands, agency, consciousness and agency. And you're immersing yourself in information. And that is why I called it the Immersive Media Lab, is because we're able to immerse ourselves in the information that we are hyper-focused on.
And the word immersive is actually perfect. And I have to tell our listeners that just before we began today's taping, Chris and Natalie gave me a demonstration. I put on virtual reality headset for the first time, and I was floating. I was in another space, interacting with a little virtual robot that popped up, and I was manipulating cartridges and starting 3D printers that really weren't there. And I have to tell you, it was a little disorienting. Absolutely. And you made sure that I didn't take any big steps or sudden movements to tumble over the chairs here in the studio, but mm-hmm. it actually was really cool.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but that whole notion of being immersed and disassociated from the physical environment mm-hmm. was unique. I wasn't quite sure whether I should be a little concerned of whether I'm going to be able to get back from there or not.
Right.
But it was actually a very pleasant experience.
Right. You brought up several things that are important. One is the kind of caution, I'm not sure about this. The other is this idea that you kind of needed someone to guide you. And then the third, and I think maybe the most important, is the fact that you're able to just focus on something. And in terms of education, this is one of the reasons why I don't think VR is right now the best tool. It's still early, but we want to kind of situate ourselves in understanding how to make things for this tool. As it develops, as it grows, as it gets better, you won't need someone making sure you're not taking the wrong steps or doing something incorrectly, and you'll be able to just focus on the thing that you really care about. And I think that that's one of the most important things. But lastly, and this is where I feel bad about some of the listeners who've not experienced this, we're talking about something that is very difficult to describe. I often associate this with trying to describe the flavor of a strawberry when you've never eaten a strawberry and the other person you're describing to has never tasted a strawberry. So it's like, well, we'll just eat a strawberry. Try it first before you even go any farther, because once you've had the experience, then we have a basis that we can have a real conversation about. That's why I really wanted you to get in there and try it out for this one time so that you would have an understanding of what we're talking about.
Chris and Natalie said, we aren't going to do the show until you actually try it. And I think that was probably really, really good advice.
Yes.
Natalie, I'd like to bring you into the conversation. You're a student. Mm-hmm. You're hoping to use virtual reality or augmented reality in some form in the work that you're going to be doing with students that you are teaching. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what attracted you to this technology and how you think it might be useful in your career as an educator.
So when I came to UWM, I came as just an art education major and just kind of with the assumption, I'll teach art. I like art, but I'll teach art. And I was interested in like Photoshop and Illustrator and all the graphic work, illustration. But then when I took actually the foundation class for the DSP curriculum at UWM, I took 118. And that kind of opened my eyes in Chris's lecture about all of the just the spectrum and affect and all of these different theories that really opened my eyes to what technology is turning into and what it offers. What more it can offer us now, and what I really should be looking at. So, I continued on with the DSP curriculum, and then I got to know Chris and other professors much better. And I was invited into the Immersive Media Lab. And in going in, I just thought I would be learning virtual reality or the software to develop my own programs. And then I thought, this is something that all kids should kind of dip their toe in. This is the direction that our world is going, and it was intimidating for me to research these topics. And it's like, oh, this is a lot to learn. I can't possibly do it on my own. And that's kind of the magic of the lab, is I've made friends who are computer scientists who are much more talented in modeling, and we share information with each other. And it, in my mind, it's a space I would like to recreate for students so that they can have an opportunity to learn these tools and see how they make their own worlds and how they can apply these technologies towards their own passions.
And you make a really good point, because you're going to be working with younger people mm-hmm. Who will be surrounded by this. It's mm-hmm. this experience. I'm sure some listeners are rolling their eyes saying, oh my God, you know, Lujak, get mm-hmm. with it, right? You know, you haven't done this, but I haven't because it's just not in my wheelhouse right now. But the students that you'll be working with in classrooms in a few years mm-hmm. Will be growing up with this. And if you aren't there, if you're not able to use this technology in educating them, there'll be some missed opportunities.
And it does. in my own art education path, learning thus far, I've realized that we don't maybe put as much focus on technology as we should, and it's kind of up to the individual to, as an art teacher in my own career, it's up to me to investigate these paths. And through the Immersive Media Lab, I've done that, and I've talking to other peers of mine in the art education department, they're very timid about touching any of this because they don't want to teach it incorrectly, or they don't want to enable students to use it incorrectly. And so in my own research in the lab, I am looking at currently the concept of connected learning, which involves a collaborative class model. And essentially the students I'm leaning towards having them work in teams where they utilize their strengths in different aspects of creating different virtual environments, but they would still all be responsible for their own education and their own dabbling in each of these areas, replicating a everyday work environment essentially too, because when they take this stuff with them past high school into the college level, I hope that I can produce students that are very prepared and very excited about it. So,
and Chris, the description that Natalie gives to using this in art education can be applied to virtually any field, right? I mean, I'm thinking of an architect mm-hmm. or an engineer mm-hmm. Who's learning how to design a building or build a structure. You know, having just experienced this virtual reality tool, I can imagine that could be incredibly powerful mm-hmm. to help them see things that right now they can only imagine.
Right.
Are those disciplines receptive to this? Because this is a big sea change from
yes.
from working off of the CAD designs.
And yes, they are. I'm connected with, loosely connected with Rockwell Automation's Advanced Technology Lab. And you betcha, they're looking closely at this. They've got years of CAD files. And how wonderful would it be to be able to experience that differently than just on a flat screen? I've been starting to give my own lectures and taking my own notes in a three-dimensional environment, which allows me to just change the whole perspective, change the scale, and it changes how I'm thinking. We're so used to like three-dimensional objects in the round in our everyday life, but those objects don't usually give us information that changes our behavior. When you can actually create information inside an environment that allows you to have a behavior that unhinges you from time, from scale, from even like Euclidean space, to get a little weird with it, you can do new things that you can't do in this normal space, if you will. And so I think that the more people who start to take this on and start enacting the research that allows them to experience their data in an information space, it's going to extend their research because it's going to embody their research, and that's then going to augment their relationship to the data that they're generating. First time this happened was when I was working with the physicists, and we were able to get that star map together. I was so proud of that.
That's a great story.
Yeah,
we should explain that.
Absolutely.
You came to UWM. You began talking to people about how augmented or virtual reality could mm-hmm. change the education process, and you ran into a group of physicists.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you didn't. There was an outcome you didn't expect.
Not at all. Yeah. So, Dr. Erb and Dr. Kaplan are both astrophysicists here at UWM. And my partner works at UWM, and so through just connections, we started talking, and I had said, wouldn't it be cool if like you those little viewfinders we had when I was a kid, you could just do that with a galaxy and just be able to see the stars. And sure, this had been done before, but I had never done this, and I wasn't aware that it had been done before. So we teamed up. And they wrote some Python scripts to take the data that was essentially on a spreadsheet and turn it into these three-dimensional plots. I then took the three-dimensional plots, made them pretty, put on a pair of goggles, and there I was. I was in space. I was so proud of that because I got to work with subject matter experts that love this thing. And I got to do a thing that I loved and was engaged in. And together we made something that I couldn't have done without them and they couldn't have done without me. And that was a moment that hailed me.
And didn't you describe it as a planetarium on your head,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so, it's a pocket planetarium. Yeah.
So, and in this instance, you know, obviously there are, you know, tons of people who have graphic design skills, who can create video games, but it's a product of their imagination of what that deep space might look like. In this instance, you were using real data. Mm-hmm. And so what you were experiencing when you put that headset on and put your program in with the data that came from the physicist is, in fact,
right,
based on what you would really experience, yeah, if you were a billion miles out there.
Right. And that's that thing that I was telling about earlier, the being able to unhinge yourself from time and scale.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. I'm Tom Lujack. Welcome to today's program. Joining us in the studio is Chris Willey and Natalie Krug. Chris is an instructor in the Peck School of the Arts, Natalie a student there, and we're talking about the work that they're doing in the Immersive Media Lab on the UWM campus. All things virtual or almost virtual reality. Let me take a step back, Chris, and Natalie, I get your thoughts on this too. I had coffee this morning with a friend, and we were lamenting the fact that some of the people we interact with in a real setting, not virtual, have their phones out and are constantly disconnecting from the conversation because they're so tethered to the pocket of data that they carry, we all carry around with us. And I suppose we sounded like two old fuddy-duddies, but we said, geez, can't you put the phone down and just experience and enjoy this moment, this real moment? When we are now building capacity to not only use virtual reality, but teach people to incorporate virtual reality into many, many aspects of their life, is that playing into the possibility that we're getting too far away from the real world if we are so fascinated with what the electrons are able to create?
That's a good question. Typically, when I think about this, I think about that old adage, we are what we eat, right? If we eat a lot of junk food, we have junky bodies. We eat really healthy food, we have healthy bodies. What's maybe more accurate is we are what we think. And if we spend too much, an unsustainable amount of time consuming these myths that everybody puts out in their social media feeds about how happy they are about this thing that they just got, then I think that creates a society that is really needing to reflect upon what is important, where are its values. And while that's not necessarily something that comes out in the everyday conversation that we talk about in the lab, this idea of sustainable behaviors around technology is front and center. Absolutely.
So you realize there's risk there.
Oh,
that, you know,
oh yeah. I also recognize very distinctly the companies that are making it. They have a vested stake because – and now we're getting into some of the nuance. As you watch the content, the companies watch you. And while before they were just tracking your pocket and your location, now they're tracking everything. The flick of your eye is now a metric that Facebook watches. And Facebook owns Oculus and HTC owns Steam and Vive. And so you better believe that these companies like Microsoft and Adobe and even some of the smaller ones like Magic Leap, they're falling all over themselves to make sure that they're positioning their product front and center so that they can get the customer share. Because that data is so valuable. They'll be able to immerse themselves in our data. Now, okay, that's scary. I'm not going to say that that's not scary. But at the same time, stepping away from Facebook for a little while, this just happened to me. After the Cambridge Analytica fallout, I was like, well, this is silly. I have to step away. So I stepped away for a couple months. And the spell slowly lifted off of me of like needing to go check to see what all my friends were talking about. And now I'm at a place where I recognize that the network is better than not having the network. And the price that I have to pay to be on that network is having my actions somewhat monitored. So at least I'm aware of that. But I also have this kind of pushback against this need to always be there. And so I put myself on a diet for the you are what you think kind of thing. And now I'm coming back to a more sustainable relationship to that feed.
And so that works with Facebook. But what about the experience that I just had here in the studio 25 minutes ago, where I was floating out there. I was truly in a completely what would otherwise have been an imaginary environment. But mm-hmm. you know, this was a program that I was consuming. I mean, the risk there of getting lost and
sure.
being
you
in
know,
too deep.
That it already happens in the MMORPG games, the massive multiplayer online and role-playing games, where you see people who will neglect their children, I've read articles
about
this.
Tuned into Twitch, right?
You know, into Twitch and all of that stuff. Natalie, what do you think? Like, when you were in there the first time, there was this experience. But now, you just told me the other day where I walked in, you're like, I was in Medium for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something different about your experience, I suspect.
I think it depends on the experience. It's you're choosing what experience you're having. So you can choose to go into like a game and be complete and submit completely to that and be immersed in that. Or you can choose to invest your time into a tool. So like when I'm looking at creative software, creative drawing applications and modeling, it becomes it's a different type of immersion. And a lot of this has, because it's so new, it has to be taught. So I think part of what I'm very interested in doing is learning all of this information and really picking it apart and realizing what are the important things I need to tell my students or share and talk about with my students so they don't make that mistake of thinking the virtual takes the place of reality, because in all future outcomes, the reality will never disappear. We will always be part of the reality. And
look out for the Borg. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it's like
I'm teasing. But
no, you're good.
Along that line, Natalie, as I was doing research for today's program, I read that one of your projects is scientific illustration, and you're mm-hmm. looking at the eyeball of all things.
Yeah. So
and you're using this very technology in a way that I thought was fascinating.
Yeah, as a future educator, I'm really interested in how can I make my own tools? How can I make my own specific tools for my students and their needs? And I didn't want to be tethered to anybody else's creations. What I wanted to create my own vision. So I am doing this project where I'm pretending if I'm making a lesson or a tool for a science class. And I'm constructing an anatomically correct human eye with the muscles attached to it. And the end result is I would like the viewer, you, who is in the virtual reality, to be able to physically interact with the object. And through that experience, understand the anatomy of the eye according to what you've done to it. And there's the learning that happens in that action reaction and that constant feedback loop.
And what a difference from a flat one-dimensional image of the eyeball that you would find in a textbook that an ophthalmologist would be studying to mm-hmm. to get their license. That I found was such a great example of making sure that the purpose was not just entertainment, but it was
education,
information, education, mm-hmm. Gathering new ways of discovering what that data means mm-hmm. or understanding the data.
Yeah.
Right.
So just a few minutes left, Chris, as we look down the road, where do you see your immersive media lab going a year or 2 years from now? Are we going to be working with those engineers, with those molecular biologists to help them develop maybe not eyeball sketches, but other electronic illustrations that will help them do better research?
Yeah, there's so many different directions that we can go in. So I have to kind of come back to, like, what's my main interest? And my main interest is to show that creativity is the core denominator, common denominator between the behaviors we call science and every manifestation of science and the behaviors that we tend to couch into the humanities. That it takes a creative thinker as a scientist to go, what if, and connect these two thoughts. Same thing as an engineer. If I kind of scoot down that path a little bit, a philosopher has to take large amounts of information and ask, what if I connect these two dots? But it's that first behavior of creativity, of bending the information, of breaking it apart and seeing it in a new way, and then recombining it in a new way. That creativity is the core denominator, and that allows me to understand that no matter what technology we're dealing with, creativity allows me to understand the sustainable behaviors that I want to push towards.
And real challenges there, though, because to retrain people to get today's current generation of educators mm-hmm. to not only continue to do the great work that they're doing, but then mm-hmm. to layer in some of these new tools can be a real challenge.
Very quickly, then that's one of the things that Immersive Media Lab is trying to become, is a third space, a space where your life and your experiences that you have is a first kind of educational environment. The rigors of your major at college is another educational environment. This third space is a space that gives you the ability to interact with and collaborate with people with vastly different skill sets, but are equally motivated to do cool things. And I think if I can bring people together, that's going to change their relationship to the information that they care about and the information that the other person cares about, to a point where we can create new behaviors that I think are super important for us to move forward.
A brave new world and a fascinating one based on my experience today. Chris and Natalie, thank you so much for sharing your great great story about UWM's Immersive Media Lab.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
That's all for this week's program. Remember, you can listen to this program on demand. Just go to wuwm.com/UWM today. And all the programs from the last year are up there. You can download them as podcast or listen to them right online. Great way to go ahead and revisit some of the great conversations we have with the men and women and wonderful partners we have at the university. Well, that's all for this week's show. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.